the McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
All right, you want to talk a little bit more about Tim Anderson?
Well, that's not necessarily where we're going, but yeah, sure.
Okay.
The use of that particular word, being okay in some instances, is what you're saying is how you feel. By some, right?
I don't want to... By some people.
Those people being black people.
Correct. Basically, it's not your job, my job, or anyone else's job outside of that community to define how that word should and can be used in 2019. The only way I can illustrate this point is how I learned it. And I'm not saying that I am right or wrong definitively, just my own experience with it. And I know that people are like, oh, this is your black friend story or whatever. One of my best friends is a guy named Carrington Harrison. I hosted afternoons with him for nearly 6 years. We talk like you and I talk, right? 20 hours a week, traveling together. You get to know someone. We still talk once a week. And I was hanging out with him one time with him and some of his friends, and he was like, hey, it's a nice experience for you. It's kind of like a reverse situation. Sometimes when I'm with you, I'm the only black person there. Now you're hanging out with me and my friends. Mm-hmm. You're the only white person here. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. And he goes, you know, you can have your N-word pass if you want it. I'm like, what? He's like, you know, because him and his friends will say.
Use that word, right?
Yeah, they use that word. And they with an A. You're my.
Yeah,
blank, right?
I know, right? Yeah, I get it.
Right, for you're my boy or whatever. Like, nah, man, no interest. Thank you for extending me the pass. Have absolutely no interest. Thank you. Carry on with your day. But we were talking about it, and he said, basically, it's taking the word back. It's got this awful history. It's dehumanizing. It was used to belittle. And so it's actually empowering to take ownership of the word. And there are plenty of very high black people in prominent places that believe in that. And there are plenty who don't.
Correct.
Right? So I'm not saying that there's a one-size-fits-all explanation for this word. Obviously. What I'm saying is Tim Anderson, during Jackie Robinson Week, who does charity work on the South Side and has embraced being one of the 7.8% of black players in Major League Baseball, saying it to a white pitcher in that situation, in that instance, with that context and that nuance, he's not using it as a racial slur. He's just not. It wouldn't make any sense. He's talking to a white guy. So I believe that given that, and he said, he's like, you guys know me. You know where I come from. You know what I've been through. Right? We learned 2 years ago, his best friend, victim of gun violence in Alabama. He's the godfather of the deceased's daughter, I believe, and he was the godfather of Tim Anderson's child. He gives back to charity on the South Side. He is proudly black. He's talked about his experiences, and he's been open with that. So him using that word in that context isn't hate speech. And in my opinion, baseball would be better off if they didn't have a one-size-fits-all policy for language, because that word, when Tim Anderson uses it, isn't the same as when other people use it.
I can think of a different word that somebody could use on a baseball field and not mean it in the way it is often interpreted, and there's no way baseball would allow it.
Derogatory for homosexuals?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, when it's not intended to be a shot at one's sexuality.
Correct, but I guess the difference would be Tim Anderson is saying that word as a black person, as opposed to if someone in baseball used that word as a gay person and they were taking ownership of that word, it would be a different thing.
Can you? And this is just me thinking out loud. Can you think of another slur, and don't mention it if you think of it, but can you think of another one that has become acceptable in the nomenclature by the individuals who once were the object of that word used in a negative capacity?
Can I think of another example? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
The B word among
like,
women?
Do you and any of your Jewish buddies ever call each other the K word? And it's like the way of chumming around a little bit.
No. No, but I know that there's some women, like some women will say, you know, that's my
C?
Mate. No, B, the B word. That's my main B. You know, something like that.
Yeah, but they wouldn't say C probably, which is much harsher. much harsher.
Well, right, but it's all language, and and it's all derogatory. But we agree that if Tim Anderson on the – I'm not saying that no one should be suspended for language. I'm not saying that that word obviously – I think this goes without saying – isn't super hateful and insulting to plenty of people, including plenty of black people. I am just saying that Tim Anderson in that situation isn't using it for that –
I agree. I just think it's one of those words that is in a bag. It's a small bag, but there's a bag of words that are very, very hateful and create a lot of hurt for a lot of people.
Undeniably.
And I am all for keeping them in the bag and not expressing them.
I get it. And I think that that makes sense in a utopic way, right? In an idealized way, that word is expunged from our history. It doesn't exist, and it's not a thing anymore. But we have a huge history of racism in this country and in baseball. And a huge percentage of the black population is embracing the word. Whether it's – I watch LeBron's show, The Shop, on HBO, where they're talking about all sorts of real-life issues in a very sophisticated way. That word gets thrown around. So it's not just in bad influence rap music, and I'm using air quotes there because of how ridiculous that is.
Well, which is listened to by a lot of kids in white suburbia all over this country, too.
Right, of course, and that's been in stand-up sketches for forever. You know, Chris Rock's been like, go ahead, white guys, get your Dre on. If it's in the song, you can say it, right? But like, so that debate has gone on for forever. If it's in pop culture, it can be quoted. And again, intent. I am just a huge believer that intent matters, and that there is some nuance in these sort of things. And it would strike me as kind of ridiculous to say to LeBron James, who's doing an unbelievable amount for his community, for education, for the youth of America, to be like, LeBron, you can't use that word. And I'm sure there's some people in the black community who feel that way about LeBron, but he's not using it. When he uses it, it's not tinged negatively, in my opinion. And in the opinion of some who I've talked to about this. And so I think understanding that he's not using it as a slur matters. Because we agree, if he would have called him a weak-ass effing C-word, he's not suspended, right?
I would suspect not.
But we agree that that word is ugly and insulting misogynistic and sexist and all
even
that.
John Bennett in TED cringed every time he heard the word.
Right. So, like, we all know. But so that feels hypocritical. And given who delivered it, I can't shake the image, the optics, if you will, that the guy who's most punished is the black player who hit the home run and then got ejected from the game and then used a word that people don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The ejection is a different issue. The ejection was hideous.
But he got ejected for using the word. What did he get ejected for?
Yeah.
That's why he was suspended.
The suspension.
But you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why he got ejected. For his behavior on the field. So to me, it's all tied up in the same thing.
Here's an interesting text. What if Tim Anderson would have called him a cracker? What would baseball have done if he called the guy who hit him a cracker?
I would imagine suspended.
Yeah.
Right?
Like that's...
Should I not have said that word?
I don't know. I think you're okay.
Okay.
That
word gets... Because I hear it all the time. Right here on the score, I hear it.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, especially in this time slot over the last 20 years or so. So, yeah, it's like I've never heard the word before.
Yeah, I would think suspended. Because that is, he's using it as a racial slur towards a member of a different race. So I would think in that context, suspended. But and again, listen, I obviously don't make the rules. When I read it, I was like, wait, what? It just didn't strike me. And I saw in James Fegan's piece, he referenced, was it Yuri Gurriel? Is that the guy who did the slanty eyes gesture towards Yu Darvish in the World Series last year? That baseball saw it as a continuation of that policy. It's basically, if you are derogatory on the basis of race, sexual orientation, mm-hmm, whatever, mm-hmm, you're suspended.
Yeah.
And that's just a one-size-fits-all approach. And I would just argue that life doesn't necessarily fit in to a one-size-fits-all approach.
Has baseball given its players a list of words they're not supposed to say?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It's just case by case. They're just going to legislate this as they come, or should they step forward and say, should it, all sports, and well, be they different from others, whatever, step out and say, look, here's a list of words. You say this on the field or anywhere at the workplace, you're going to be penalized for it.
I have no idea. It's a great question.
That would make sense to
sure,
me.
Sure.
And if I could come up with a big bag of words, that'd be in it.
Well, Rick Renteria said after the game, he was asked whether or not the language was out of line with what he normally hears, and he laughed. He was like, come on, I mean, our game has changed a lot. There's more cameras, there's more microphones, and it's a different time in which we live in. I don't think we want to watch sports played at the highest level where these guys are at maximum competitiveness all the time, and then you can't curse.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a realistic outcome. And so that's the other part of this. You cannot tell me that that's the first time that word is used on a baseball field. Right? It's just, it defies logic.
I bet it's been used a bunch.
Right?
This year. This past weekend, probably.
Right? So Joe West, who's got an issue with Tim Anderson, report he ejects him for language.
Shocked Joe West would be at the epicenter of this, right?
And then he reports to the league what was said, and so then by letter of the law, he's got to be suspended. It just strikes me as fundamentally unfair. And I get that this makes people really uncomfortable. And I am in no way saying that I am 100% right on this, right? It's not my word. I just, when I read it, I was like, wait, what? I guess maybe it's just you hear so many black people say the word and talk about it as empowerment or endearment. And I'm, again, not at all saying that he was using it as a term of endearment to the guy who just drilled him 94 miles an hour. I'm not being that naive. All I'm saying is the reason the word is so charged, it's a dehumanizing racial
slur.
Yes,
it is, which is why I will forever cringe whenever I hear it, regardless of its usage.
Understood. I'm just saying he wasn't saying it as a dehumanizing racial slur. And so, therefore, I don't think he should be suspended for language. Just context of it. You want to take some calls?
Absolutely, Parkins.
All right. In Orland Park, Reed, you're on the score. What's up, Reed?
Hello.
Hi, Reed.
Thanks for taking my call. First, I called about the N-word with Tim Anderson, but real quick, check topic. I caught your tail end talking about him, and I will always admire his introductions of guests. They were eloquent, beautiful, and any guest was honored to be on at one of his shows because of the introductions he gave. That's my thoughts on
that. All right, Reed, thanks.
As far as the N-word and Danny Parkins, I went to bed last night and was hearing you talk about it. I got up this morning on the Mully show, and the caller who called you last night was talking about it. I'm driving home and I hear it, and you're talking about it. So here's what I think. You're way off. You don't get it, Dan Parkins.
Okay.
Where the line has been drawn in the sand in our country. It is a word that's not acceptable. Yes, I know the word has different meanings when two blacks talk about it. I'm in the locker room at the gym and I hear them do it all the time. It's uneasy. Uncomfortable. I cringe. It feels awful when they do it. They do it with different meanings, sometimes as a compliment, sometimes as a negative. Keep it in the locker room. You apparently don't have any kids, Danny Parkins, correct?
I don't have any kids, but if this is going to be one of those, let's think of the children arguments, those normally end poorly.
Baseball. How can you talk to kids about this and tell them it's so? You are a wonderful speaker on the radio. I love listening to you. You have difficulty justifying the use of it. I almost feel like they told you, listen, we need somebody to contradict it, so talk about it. And you don't really believe it, but you're saying it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's so much a part of Danny's MO.
Yeah,
You don't get it.
Is it, Reed, at all possible that you don't get it? And it's okay if you're uncomfortable?
I can tell how uncomfortable I am in the locker room.
Right, but it's not about your comfort. What don't you get? It's not about your comfort.
What's that?
It's not about your comfort.
But it's baseball. Keep it in the locker room. This is a show they're putting on, and God forbid you got to tell your 10-year-old kid someday the meaning of all that and break it down. The line has been drawn in our country. It's not acceptable in any
who
way.
Who drew the line?
It's just like
who drew the line?
What your partner talked about. I'm Jewish. I sit with my Jewish buddies. We might throw that K word around now and then. But never.
Oh, good.
Ever
oh, jeez. I found
never.
One. I asked and I found one.
I honestly thought that word was retired. I haven't heard that word in a long time.
You do a great job. I think you might need a little more sleep because you're working at night and in the afternoon. And
Reed,
then Friday morning.
It's not about your comfort,
maybe
man.
That's it. But you're all off. But I still love you guys. Thanks. Oh,
thank you, Reed.
Okay. Reed, I would say who drew the line? Not Tim Anderson. Not LeBron, not plenty of people in the black community who have tried to take ownership back of the word. If Reed's uncomfortable in the gym, good. Like that's the point. That is the whole point.
No, I mean, if a guy has spent a life trying to dissuade pals from using that word and keeping it as away from his kids, why do you just say good?
He's put
a lot of energy into keeping that word from being used in a terrible way.
No, in a terrible way being the key point. Absolutely. That is great. What I am saying is that Tim Anderson not using it is a terrible way. I use the example of LeBron on the shop just because I watched an episode recently on HBO. I'm a little behind. Got to catch up. It's great. I hear Seth Rogen's on the next one. It's a fantastic show. Everyone should watch it. It's just, to me, it's not my place or Reed's place to tell two black people in his gym locker room how they can use that word amongst themselves. To me, it's not my place.
Well, and he didn't say he was trying to tell them. He just said it makes him horribly uncomfortable, as it does for a lot of us.
But he said, but that's okay. He says society has drawn that line in the sand. Who had the power to draw that line? That's like, oh, it's unacceptable. It's like white people want to say the word. It's like, oh, they can say it, but we can't say it. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I have absolutely no problem with there being a different set of rules for language when it comes to that word with white people and black people. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And I don't really get why anyone wouldn't. Reed can't say it. The two black guys in his gym locker room, they can. And I'd love to see Reed go up to them and try to tell them that they can't. I don't know how that would go.
Should he report back next week?
Yeah. The K word's still in existence. I had no idea. I hadn't heard that one in a long time. You want one more?
Go for it.
Willie on the north side, you're on the score.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
It is my place to say about this word or not. Being an African-American male, a teacher, a pastor, it is my very job. This discussion is a 10-year-old discussion. We've had it in the black community for a long time. And Parkins, you're wrong. What you say between two friends or in a locker room is different than what you say in public. And that's what we try to teach our young African-American males, because it's about their job. It's about their future. It's about misunderstanding. That's one point. Let me make another point here. And the mistake those who say we're taking it back are making. Somebody assigned that word to an entire group of people. The word has no meaning, makes no sense. Anybody can be that word. It's not about black people. It's about the ignorance of the people who use the word. And that makes Tim Anderson ignorant. And baseball has a right to police how it's seen. Here's the other problem. Those of us who've worked with young black kids try to get them to stop behaving certain ways in public. They can't do it on a baseball field. We've regulated it out. They can't do it in a classroom. And if they see a future superstar doing it, they will believe that it's okay to do it in public. And they don't have millions of dollars like Tim Anderson potentially, and they could lose either their lives or their livelihood. That's why this is much more sophisticated than even you think.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I could never.
What your friend said to you in a bar in the basement is different than Tim Anderson on the baseball field. And I promise you, they have never said it. I have never heard it on a basketball court, a pro basketball court? Well, I've never heard it while I was at a baseball game.
Wait.
I have never heard that word.
Willie, you think, and listen, obviously, I'm not claiming to be an expert or claiming that I have any sort of spectacular insight into it. My question to you, though, is you really think it's not set on an NBA court?
I'm telling you what I just told you. I have never heard LeBron James use that word. Whether it's used or not, I don't know. I have never heard it. Had I heard it, I would have raised furor and hell, because I'm the one of those that works with young kids to try and get them to see that it will impact their future. The problem you're missing and your friends are kids who struggle financially, have a problem differentiating between their personal life and their public life.
Sure.
And that's what we try to teach them. What you say between your friends and your bar, that's your business. What you say on a baseball field is our business. And I have a right not to hear it.
Okay, well, Willie, let me just ask you a question, because we didn't know that he had said it. Like, he didn't say it into a microphone. He didn't say it at a press conference.
Well after the fact when we learned it.
It was well after the fact. There wasn't actually any big to-do about it. Everyone was confused as to why he got ejected from the game, and then people were shocked that he was suspended. Initially, when he was suspended, people thought it was for the bat flip.
Late in the game, too. There were no fans there, were there?
Yeah, I don't think anyone heard.
No one there to hear it.
I actually don't think that people were aware that he had said it in the heat of the moment on the field. It's not like he said it in a public forum.
And the problem now is it has become a public forum. So that doesn't even matter. He was disciplined for it. He should know better. There could have been kids listening. All we need is somebody to say, Tim Anderson did it. I can do it too. Why can't I do it too? It doesn't matter. You're making an excuse for it. Baseball has a right and a responsibility. Like McNeil said, they have a responsibility to mark off the words that are offensive. That word is brutally offensive. And if you are a public figure, you simply cannot do things that are offensive. That's the bottom line.
Thanks,
I have
Willie.
A right not to...
Willie, great call, and thank you for the good work you're doing. That was awesome. Thank you very much for the call. You said, you know, I bet you it's been said in multiple times in the last week. I absolutely believe that it's said casually and often among NBA players in basketball games.
So I will disagree
with Willie there, but obviously his perspective is a meaningful one and worth hearing, and I'm glad we took the call. This segment was brought to you by AccountTemps. Finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. AccountTemps can help. With AccountTemps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors, you can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company. Now you want to do a Jack Nicholson draft.
I'm ready, man. It is draft week.
It is draft week.
I think on Wednesday show we re-rack our spring training interview with Patrick Saint-Esprit. I'm sorry. With Tom, the general man. What the hell was his name? And why am I forgetting
Michaels.
His name? Tom Michaels, the GM of the Seahawks, fictionally.
I mean, the Bears have the 87th pick.
Michaels, he remembers Tom Michaels. Everybody knows that.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're right, I did.
Born on this day in 1937 in Neptune, New Jersey. Happy birthday to my favorite actor of all time, Jack Nicholson.
Number one, huh?
82 today. Way to go, Jack. Hasn't worked in 9 years, and there's no sign of that changing anytime soon.
No, he is all the way retired.
Yeah, he's done.
Still an A-list movie star, though, just how he carries himself.
Yeah, in 2010, he finished How Do You Know? His character's name was Charlie, and after looking at it, Ron Coomer said, that'll do it. Not so good down the stretch, but a very, very deep body of work.
I mean, not so good down the stretch, but the fifth to last credit he has is The Departed.
Frank Costello, yeah.
You know, I mean, that was 13 years ago at this point.
I don't love The Departed as much as Departed Nation does, and I think you're a part of it. Would you say you're a card-carrying member of Departed Nation? Yes,
I am. But my only caveat is wildly entertaining. I just find it entertaining. I don't think it's better than Goodfellas, or I wouldn't say it's the best gangster movie ever. It's not better than The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, for what it is, it's an ensemble cast. It's overacted. You just can't believe it's Nicholson and Damon and DiCaprio and Wahlberg and Baldwin.
Like, yes.
They just throw the stars
right,
at
and
you.
Martin Sheen isn't too shabby either. It's good. It's loaded.
For an ensemble, I find
it. Played Boggs and Shawshank's got a big piece.
Yeah, just wildly entertaining movie. Yeah, so I'm a fan.
I've never seen the guy who plays Mr. French, the number one, in anything else, but he was compelling too. I loved French.
Yeah.
Was Ray Winstone?
That's the name. Yeah,
he's awesome. Yeah. He's in The Sexy Beast with Sir Ben Kingsley. That's great.
Perfect. Thank you, Tanny. Deep cut. We appreciate you.
So you want to do a draft?
Sure. Let's draft. It is draft week.
It's draft day.
Thank you very much, Tom Michaels.
Go ahead. He's your favorite actor, Mac.
Not fair for me to go first, is it? All right. I'll punch it out.
Do whatever you want.
R.P. McMurphy, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. My favorite Jack Nicholson role. My favorite Jack Nicholson film. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, the number one pick.
Shocker here early on.
I can't believe what fell. Well, then I'll take The Departed. As a
right,
card.
There you are.
I'll take The Departed.
All right.
Shep. You want to take a Brad Pitt movie?
Don't point at me.
Shep
hasn't punched up the IMDb page yet.
It's rude to point.
Was trying to give it to Tanny, but he didn't want to take that.
Take a Pacino.
Poor guy. Pacino. I got to go with A Few Good Men.
Jeez.
A Few Good Men.
She fell funny.
Colonel Nathan Jessup, which we heard in the opening ceremony.
You're GD right, I did.
Yeah. He's only in about 14 minutes of that film, and he steals a scene all 14 minutes.
14 minutes from him is better than 2 hours of Tom Cruise.
I'd agree with that. Although he was palatable in that movie.
Somewhat. Only when he has the baseball bat.
Tanny.
Well, Danny took the only movie I was interested in taking in The Departed, so I'm going with what is oftenly referred to as the greatest film ever made, Chinatown.
Chinatown, very, very good. J.J. Giddies, I believe. Giddies was the role he played in that one. Yeah. Okay.
Saw it once. Probably need to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
It was too
Faye Dunaway, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm so thankful for Brendan McCaffrey for putting me onto an old classic like that.
It is. Very good. 1974, if I remember.
1974.
Right? Four? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So holds up, Chinatown?
Good, yeah. Good, okay. Good. I've got it on DVD if you want to hook your DVD player up.
I'm not that interested. I'm sure I could find it on demand somewhere. Tanny, the wraparound?
Well, this is crazy because I don't think this has ever happened, but Shep has agreed to trade picks with me for tomorrow. So Shep's going to take my pick, and I'm going to take his pick tomorrow. Shep, what do you got here?
Wow!
Yeah, Tanny's not interested in this draft. He gave up his whole draft.
I'm excited about tomorrow, whatever it is we do. I just got an extra pick. So.
He's accumulating picks in tomorrow's draft. He's the Bill Belichick of this draft.
I was going to say, he's the anti-Ryan Pace. He is that. So I get the fifth and sixth picks. Holy cow, what a development.
What are you going to do here?
What to do. So I got the two movies that I've got to go get then. My favorite one that I thought would be available later on, I would have taken it, I think it's first round value. Got to go with Hoffa. Outstanding movie from Jack Nicholson.
What role did he play in that movie, Shep?
He was Hoffa.
Okay.
Could walk across the glass and slap the
just
living
check it.
Out
whoa.
Of you.
Whoa. Whoa.
Before you do that, smart shove ass. Your mic condom all the way on your microphone there,
weird.
Sir. You're sounding funny on
the
us.
Condom's falling off again.
Okay. Right. You'll grow into it.
That'll happen.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Second pick of my second round, I will go with The Shining as well.
Okay. Jack Torrance.
Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance.
I'll take As Good As It Gets.
Good call.
One Best Actor.
Melvin Udall.
Helen
Scott
Hunt
Brooks
cheating
film.
On somebody in that movie, too.
Basically.
That train's never late.
He's in like 80% of the damn scenes in that movie. He just dominates
he's
it.
He's tremendous.
Yeah, he's great.
Helen Hunt was adorable in that film, too. And she looks great when... Well, never mind. All right, my turn.
I believe that's how it works, yes.
I'm going to go with Terms of Endearment, 1983, opposite Shirley MacLaine. The character he played was an astronaut named Garrett Breedlove.
83,
indeed. Stretch. And next year, Jack will be 83.
Oh, that's good. Danny's saving picks for that draft.
83.
You can't wait. You get one more pick, Mac. Are we doing three movies each?
That's Ampleton.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's funny.
What's your last one?
Boy, let me go with Something's Gotta Give. I don't love it, but aging Diane Keaton works for me. I thought it was a cute plot. I'm going to get hammered from jackheads on this, but... Saw it fairly recently.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you have to worry about that.
No.
That's not a thing.
Not a thing? All right.
It's going to be a thing now in the text, but I think you're okay.
Yeah. Now, I like the movie Broadcast News more, but he's barely in it.
Right.
As Bill Rorsch, the network top dog anchor.
Are you an Easy Rider fan?
I do. Well, no, I don't. I'm watching it again very, very soon for I think only the third time in my life.
Oh, it's on your schedule?
It is on my schedule, right. Monday off my schedule
you
like
have
it was
penciled
in the Cubs.
In?
Yeah.
Monday is not on your schedule.
That was like today. I was waiting for one of those over the weekend from Pat. No, but I'm going to watch it again. I thought it was vastly overloved. It was the first film that showed really illicit drug use.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
It was long, also.
Well, and it was supposed to be longer. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. Yeah. Well, okay, they ran out of money, right?
Yes, they ran out of money.
Yeah.
What happened to the ending? We got no money.
Right.
Roll credits. We're almost done.
But still, such critical acclaim.
I know.
I will take Batman. He was my first Joker. Jack Nicholson. I think he got to...
Okay.
The field was lapped with Heath Ledger, but that was my first...
I agree, Daniel. Like you've always said, he is the best Joker. Nicholson. You've always told me that privately.
Always.
That you felt that he's the best Joker of the entire Batman series. So I'm glad you got this movie instead of me, which was going to be my pick.
Oh, thank you, Danny. You have no more
picks now.
You've traded all of your picks.
I sold my last pick, actually.
You have for $3.5 million.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. That's it. That concludes our Jack Nicholson-ish draft.
There we have it.
Nice team you've acquired this year. A future first.
Hey, I'm building. I'm rebuilding, man.
I trade for a pick, but I don't get a third-round pick?
I thought you took two movies
last time.
Well,
he skipped me, too, for the record. I know they're only listening to themselves. They're listening to themselves talk over there. But,
no!
Whatever. And I'm cool with that.
If we get additional picks tomorrow,
if you
I'm fine
call,
with
if
it.
If you want to call me Mike Tice for not being at the podium and I lose my pick, that's fine. Shep, go ahead. What do you got?
Mac picked first. I picked second. Mac just did.
Right. And there's four of us here.
Right, and there's four of us. It's the third round.
I think they get another pick, Danny.
Yeah.
Unless
you don't want us to, Mr. Parkins.
Oh, no, by all
means.
I'm done.
All right. I
got to
go with one that tugs the heartstrings a little bit. You see Jack Nicholson. I keep doing that.
Jack Nicholson. Where's his mind at?
The Bucket List.
He actually
is what I go with. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, but... It's a little emotional as that movie goes on.
Tugs the heartstrings played with him in that movie.
Right.
Hold on a second. You didn't do that, did you?
Did
you just do
that? I just did it. It tugs the heartstrings quite a bit.
That movie so sucks.
What's wrong with you?
That is one of the worst movies.
Yuck, the man's yum. He likes it.
Oh, God.
I never saw it.
Can anger management be far behind?
What's wrong with that movie? Why does it suck? You see a man
I saw it. It sucked.
You see a man that's being dealt a rough hand in his later years in life, and he goes and sees the world with a guy that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford such means.
It did have some redeeming qualities.
You see him
some
mature as it goes on. He wants to kiss the most beautiful girl in the world before he dies, and it ends up being his granddaughter that he previously had no relationship with.
Spoiler alert.
What's wrong with it? Movie sucks. Wrong with you.
Sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to offend you. Yeah. Are we a wrap here?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, we're done.
I maintain that I did not go out of order.
What's that?
No, you didn't go out of order. You just stopped the draft.
Yeah.
You stopped it.
It's not out of order when you just stopped completely.
Baker went out of order that time.
You weren't affording us an opportunity for Mr. Film Irrelevant. That's all.
Oh, my mistake. I thought you already took two picks.
Little known fact about Jack Nicholson. You could take this one home with you, kids. Tell this to your buddies at the bar next time you assemble. He grew up thinking his mother... how should I say this? He grew up with a sister about 13 years older who actually was his mother. He wasn't told until later in life his sister is his mother. That's Jack Nicholson.
That's not even a fun fact.
Yeah, that's just... not a fun fact. No.
Straight up disturbing.
I wonder if he nursed. He probably wouldn't remember, though, right?
I hope not.
Yeah, I thought it was weird I was nursing with my sister. They usually stop at around 3 or 4, if I remember right.
The 2?
It depends.
I think you stop before you're 4 years old.
I don't remember. Oh, some kids go up until 6.
Yeah, it varies family to family. Whatever works for the kid and the mom.
Six years old?
No, I don't know. I mean, it was on Seinfeld. George is breastfed so much later in life.
It's got to be true.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, that's enough for me. By the way, bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. One of the biggest broadcasters in the game apparently is pulling a Shep. Let's hear the audio next on The Score.
If the Pistons come back, I might not even do it in a Speedo. I might do it butt ass naked.
No. We'd rather you with the Speedo.
What about a thong, Chuck? A thong? Come on, man.
Whatever. I've never rooted for sending someone.
Come on, man.
He's so hurt. He's going on the wall.
Yep.
I
didn't have room to put the naked part in there.
No, the Speedo part in there.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. I have just become the world's biggest Pistons fan.
Come on, man.
How about if they just win?
No, they got to win the whole thing.
They got to win the whole thing if I'm going to do a Speedo.
You and Chuck, Speedo brothers,
kindred spirits.
That works for me. I'd look good standing next to Chuck.
Except he's not going to lose his bet.
Yeah, that's the problem. I hope
he does.
I hope so too. The Pistons come back from down 3-0.
Think he'd back it up?
Hell yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Remember he did the.
He's kind of large these days.
The race with who was the NBA official?
Yeah, but he was clothed.
I didn't understand that, but he made an ass out of himself.
Yeah, who was it? It wasn't Bennett Salvatore. Who was that?
Labetta?
Dick
Labetta?
Yeah, and he kissed him.
That's right. And he backpedaled and he knocked himself on his head. Yeah.
Dick, not Nick, isn't it?
I think
it's Dick.
You got to lean into it.
Dick Bavetta.
Yeah.
We all on the same page now?
I owe Shep an apology. I had the wrong movie.
Yeah, see? You speak ill of this movie.
I'm sorry. I was confusing it with another movie.
My God.
Bucket List was okay.
It was okay.
You know we apologize to all of you at home.
Wait, what?
Bucket List was good. Bucket List was heartwarming. I was confusing it with Space Cowboys. Do you remember Space Cowboys?
Honestly, do you remember Space Cowboys?
Space Cowboys is good. Cowboys.
It's awful.
I was confusing it with Wild Hogs.
Space Cowboys is not awful. Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones.
All the old
funny.
Is one of the dumbest things. I don't know why. Was Nicholson in that?
No.
Why? Okay, I saw it a half a time.
You turned it into me.
That was Tommy Lee Jones and Clint Eastwood. They're nothing like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, pretty bad.
I enjoyed it. I've seen it multiple times.
Yeah.
What?
I said yeah.
Not surprised. So you liked The Bucket List with him and Morgan Freeman
it was
on a path to nowhere.
It was heartwarming. Yeah, it had some good. I'm sorry, Nick.
It's no Las Vegas, that's for sure.
Well, all right. So what's the worst?
We
Jack
have
Nicholson
a minute.
Movie? Okay, whatever.
I posted this last week and people said, "Well, you're reviewing a movie from 24 years ago." Well, I do that. It takes a while before you really have a grasp on where something fits, if it stands up. I've watched movies recently that were made in the 30s, the 50s. I'm a student of film. I will never watch Casino again. I am done with Casino for the rest of my life.
Okay.
We got to save this for the top.
I'm serious. It's the Pesci's narration. I think it's the most overloved gangster picture of the last 35 years.
That's a hot take.
What?
I mean, Just student of film. You're done with it. You quit things in ways like you have like public stances.
Yes.
Like, I'm putting my flag in the sand.
I am putting, yes.
35 it's years the after most I left theaters.
I have decided it is the most overrated gangster film in the last 35 years. Give me a one that you think is more overrated. We'll have the conversation.
Okay. Again, Dan Bernstein always said, who's doing the rating? I mean, who's rating it
well,
so highly?
People, the way people talk about films, just, you know, the general perception salute of a film's brilliance, of how wonderful it is. A lot of people love that Casino. They love it.
8.2 on IMDb, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Say, that's what I'm saying.
Only 1995. The movie felt like it came out 40 years ago. All right.
That's because I was saying it.
We're done with what you do. Might have something to do with it.
Why'd I give up, hemorrhoids?
It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score.
If you're a football fan, and our studies show that you are, listen up. The NFL draft is almost here. And even though the Bears don't have a top pick, the Score's got the entire NFL draft covered.
Starting Thursday night from 6 to 10 with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, Dan Pompey, and Greg Gabriel.
Then on Saturday, live from Soldier Field, it's the Voices of the Bears. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer breaking down all of the Bears draft picks from 10 a.m. to 3.
Followed by Julie and Maggie with Greg Gabriel until the Cubs start at 6:35.
Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, a radio.com sports station.
The 2019 Toyota Highlander has three more seats and 85% more towing than Subaru Outback, plus a two-year no-cost maintenance package and 0.9% financing at Continental Toyota on select models with approved credit through TFS, plus $179.81 dock fee. Offer expires 4/30/19.
Dan Bernstein here for my friends at Aloha Restoration. The weather in Chicago is starting to warm up, but the rain is coming, and that means the flooded basements and the unwelcome mold and mildew and water stains. You don't want any of that, especially if you live near the Fox or Des Plaines River. Rely on Aloha to fix and prevent flood damage. When any flood disaster strikes, you know who to call. Aloha Restoration to get you bone dry in no time. Call Aloha when you call the emergency response team to secure your home and prevent further damage. Aloha Restoration, 847-865-5664, 847-865-5664.
There's something new happening at Xfinity, and it's all about you. Yes, you. Because now you can customize your own package with Xfinity. What does that mean? It means you can get more of what you want and less of what you don't. Say you want TV, but just the sports and news channels. Done. Xfinity has flexible channel packs that let you customize your entertainment. Or maybe your family wants super fast internet to power 25 devices and the latest in home security. Xfinity has you covered. Simply choose the internet speed that's right for you and add additional services like home security with just a few clicks. And if you're a gamer that only wants really, really fast internet and none of that other stuff like landlines or kids' channels, perfect. Just pick your internet speed. Forget about packages with extra channels or services you don't want. It's time to customize your own package just the way you like it. Go online today and check it out for yourself. You can see the price adjust as you customize and watch the savings add up. Introducing a new way to customize your own package and save with Xfinity. Now that's simple, easy, and awesome. Go to Xfinity.com/customize, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today.